Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good morning, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Can you believe it's that time of the year? And, you know, one of the things that's happening today, maybe you don't realize it, as we come together to celebrate the goodness of the Lord and worship the Lord together, is that right now and throughout this, through the three services this morning, we have teams of people that are putting together. Many of you brought a turkey and have donated it. Some brought it this week, some brought it today. Those are all going to be part of a big package. We are providing complete Thanksgiving dinners to needy families in the church and community. Amen. Amen. So let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Tom Thanen, who during the year is over our food pantry and also works out in the parking lot and does so many different things, is over this, and he's got a recruited a team of people. And so what a great ministry, because Thanksgiving is being thankful for what we have, right? And I believe also remembering and reaching out to those who don't. Because no matter where you're at in the rhythm of life, there's going to be people that have more than you and people who have less than you. Have you never noticed that? It's like, when is enough enough, especially in our society? A lot of times people complain about money, or I wish I had what they had, or that's not fair. The person across the street just got a new car. But you know what? Sometimes we forget how blessed we are as a nation and how blessed we are as a group of people, because really, when you look at other countries of the world, if you live in India, if you have a bicycle to travel, you're rich. Do you hear me? If you have a car, you're just like the talk of the town. You know what I mean? You were just like, what is up with that extravagant? They got a 20-year-old car. You know what I mean? What's up with that? No one deserves to have anything that nice. You know, but there's always that rhythm. And if we're not careful, we can get sucked into, you could say it this way, the American way. Praise God for America. It's the greatest country on the earth. Amen. Praise God. Even with its faults, even with its craziness from time to time, we still live in the greatest nation on the earth. And if we only are thankful when we see everything our way or get everything we want, you will never be thankful. If you're only thankful when you have more than the people across the street or next door, or the people run into, you will never be thankful, and you'll really never be happy. Because no matter what there is that you might look at and say, I would be happy if I lived there, yeah, until you paid the taxes on it. Come on, somebody. You like that big house till the utility bill show up. What? That used to be my whole mortgage payment. Is this for the year? That's for a week. What? You think, oh, I only have that car. You know what I mean? No, I'd have the best car. No, you won't. There's always a better car. There's always something out there. But learning to be thankful for what we have and what God's brought into our life. And remembering those that we come across in our path that maybe don't, that we can reach out. Because God, he told Abraham, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. Amen. A lot of times our blessings and our American mindset, God bless us, is that it's all about us. But God said, no, I'll expand your border. I'll give you influence. I will bless you, but I want you to know it's just not for you. I want it to kind of flow through you so we can do more good for other people. Amen? Amen. But there's challenges in life when we run into, Lord, maybe I'm not seeing everything I want. Well, let's start with what God has done in your life. But if you only are thankful for what you have, then there'll be times or seasons of your life, as it is for everybody, that you won't be thankful at all. Because there's times and seasons in everybody's life where they seem like they hit the rock bottom or have a hard time or go through a storm. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to deal with trials and tribulations. God doesn't create them. They do happen. But he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why could I be, why can you be, why can we be of good cheer when we're going through a hard time? And he said it this way, because I've overcome. That's right. There is a connection to Jesus and victory in your life. Yes. And so learning to be thankful for what he's done is so important. It's the old phrase of, is the glass half empty or is it half full? And even when if you have children, it's probably a big thing. I know in my home, it's like teaching my daughter, okay, you know what I mean? you're not going to get this right now. But I want it, I want it. I know you want it. Not going to have, learn teaching, because I've learned, and maybe you've learned, I'm in that process, that when she really, 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 really wants something, and daddy's heart has moved to, I have to get it because she really, 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 really wants it. I know this never happens for you. That I get real excited about providing it for her, and I give it to her, and she's really excited that I got her what she really, really, really wanted. And then it was a couple days later, she's not even messing with it anymore. Have you ever noticed that? She's already found something else that she really, 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 really has to have. Just the other day, and this day's between us, okay? And so just the other day, she's like, Daddy, if I don't, she's wanted to do gymnastics. If I don't get a chance to go to gymnastics, it's killing me. I'm like, don't say it's killing you. Okay. It's driving me crazy. I don't say it's driving me crazy, because the human tendency is we want something, and when we want something, we want it so badly that sometimes that's all we can think about. We forget about what God's done. And all we can see is what God has yet to do or what we're wanting. But sometimes God's like, no, you're not ready for that now. And that's why I think there's a principle here that we need to learn, because Thanksgiving and being thankful and even helping people shouldn't be an event. It shouldn't be an annual dinner that we eat more than we want. Come on, somebody. But praise God for those moments. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Thinking about pie right now, so you got me sidetracked. But David even wrote, and we see this in Scripture, Psalms 136, you throw on a screen. Look at this. The verse says, Psalms 136, go ahead, throw it in. There it is. Give thanks to the Lord. Think about that for a second. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, not because just what you've received. Yeah. Have you noticed it didn't say anything about where you're at, what you're dealing with, what you want, what you're praying for, what you're looking to get, what you really, that it's just, you're just dying inside until you get it. No. Give thanks unto the Lord. For the key element here is for he, the focus is on him and not on what we have or don't have. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Would you bow your head? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this is the day you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. And Lord, I just pray that at every person here, including myself, would receive something from you that would help us to grow in this concept of being thankful. That our perspective would become a little more clear today. And I thank you that as you have blessed us and as you are blessing us, I thank you that the storms of life will not have the opportunity to remove our thanksgiving. Amen. Because at the end of the day, it's all about you. Amen. And everybody said, amen. 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 Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes. Give thanks to the Lord. When's the last time you gave God thanks for something? Think of it this way. What would happen if you only had today what you thank God for yesterday? How would your life look? Because I'm a firm believer that this concept of thanksgiving can't be based on our temporary condition or place in life. Because if we wait to have it all or do it all or reach it all or own it all before we're thankful, we'll never be thankful. Because the moment you bought something you thought that would be the best of the best, someone's just produced something better. Or just when you found the car that nobody else drives, have you ever seen that? You buy it. I've never seen this on the road. And you buy it. And it was like 2 days later, you see a bunch of them on the road. It's like, did they just have a conference of these cars and everybody flooded the city? No, you never noticed it before, but now they're there. See, then we're like, oh, now it's not that cool of a car anymore. Everybody's got one. It's amazing what we tie being thankful and connected to. But I'm a firm believer that thankfulness has to be more than a dinner, more than an event, more than a church thing. more than a luxury, but really a necessity. I say it that way because luxury meaning that great if we get it, it's okay if we don't. Great if we thank God for stuff, but if we don't, that's okay too. That's more of a luxury. But really, you'll see through Scripture that it is more than a luxury. It really is a necessity. And when we get a hold of this and begin to see it correctly, you'll see that maybe what has held us back in some areas of our life is not God and not the devil. Maybe it's our perspective and our willingness to be thankful for where we're at. Let me give you a Scripture. We're all familiar with the story of the children of Israel. They've left Egypt under the slavery. They're moving toward the promised land, but things are not happening as fast as they want them to happen. Can you relate to that in some area of your life? Is there anything in your life you've been praying for and you wished if it was according to you, it had been done? So at least you could move on to the next one? And sometimes things don't happen as fast as we want them to, or the way we want them at that moment. And we see here that in Numbers chapter 14, that what was happening is the people were getting critical. They begin to have the perspective of not being thankful for, at least they're not where they used to be. They're moving progressively to where God wants them to be. But they were critical. They begin, when you become critical and cynical, you begin to see everything with a slanted perspective. Have you noticed that? When you become critical in your thinking, even if everything is 90% good, all you'll see is the 10% bad. This is, I'm not challenging you. That has a way of trying to attack any and all of us, but that can destroy anyone who gets involved in it. Businesses can fold. Marriages can crumble. Friendships can be devastated. Because if all we see is the negative, you're not going to be happy and you're going to spew the poison. Because you've just had enough of just seeing that person that certain way. Because all you see now is the faults or the lacking or the mistakes. And that's what Israel started doing toward God and toward Moses. Now catch this. Catch the context. It says, Numbers chapter 14, verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against, or they complained against Moses. I read a proverb recently in the Living Translation, New Living. It says, every story seems accurate until someone sets it straight. We say it this way, every story has two sides. Why do I say that? Because there's a tendency, have you ever heard someone complain about their boss? Complain about their pastor, not here. Complain about their spouse. Complain about something. And you're like, that is horrible. And then as you got into the story, you found out, well, maybe there was two sides to that story. My boss is so mean, he yelled at me. He just chewed me out for no reason. You showed up 2 hours late. Didn't tell that side of the story, did we? Okay. Not you, the person sitting next to you. And all the children of Israel murmured, help me, Jesus, against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God had we had died in the wilderness? They're questioning God. They're saying, God's bringing us out. He's going to kill us there. He's going to kill us here. God don't care about us. Where's God in this deal? And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? You got to think of the big picture here. These people had been praying for hundreds of years to be delivered from the bond of slavery, right? And when they get out, they want to go back. Because it's one thing to get Israel out of Egypt. It's another thing to get Egypt out of Israel. If there's not a change in our life, we can leave all the old lifestyle and routine. But if there's not a change in who we are, do you know what the tendency will be? The devil will give it time. You will talk yourself to go back. into what at one time you were praying to get out of. We've all done it with something. Have you ever done it with a relationship? You're like, oh, I got to get rid of that person. You break up with them a year later. Oh, I miss them so much. You forgot all the bad stuff. Come on, somebody. And then you're like, you run into them and you get back together. Like, I'm so happy. And 2 days later, you remember why you were running from them and changed your name and relocated to a different city. Come on, somebody. We can forget what was going on back then, and all of a sudden we could talk ourselves and we'll go right back into the stuff. Now notice, so they're complaining against Moses, complaining against God. And look what God says in verse 26. This was eye-opening for me. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, unto Aaron, saying, how long should I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, catch this. Here's what God's telling them. You tell them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, I will do it to you. As you have complained, you didn't think anybody was listening. You were just venting. You were just telling it the way you thought you saw it. But God said it was going into my ears, and because you won't stop, tell the people, as you have continued to complain, and I've heard it, so I will make it happen. OMG. Right? All of a sudden, that should wake us up that it's not okay to always complain about the glass being half empty. Because when you start complaining, you're really saying that God's not going to do anything about it. God can't do anything. God doesn't care about me. He's leaving me out here on my own. God, where are you? And God said, you're complaining and murmuring against me, so I'll let it happen. Come on. That's good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy or loving kindness endures forever. One of the things we have to do is, instead of focusing on, is my glass half empty or half full? Pastor, you understand, my glass is not even half full. It's mostly empty. Well, listen to me. Maybe instead of focusing on the glass being half empty or half full or 90% empty and 10% full, what if we redirect our attention and say, Lord, I'm not going to make what I see right now my priority. I'm going to make my focus, my main focus. I'm not ignoring it. I'm not being unwise with it. But I'm going to make what comes out of my heart, my mouth, the main focus, you. Yeah. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through challenges. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. I begin to redirect my focus, my attention on him, not just because he's done something, because of the goodness of who he is. Many years ago, this is probably about 12, 13 years ago, there was a phase where the church was really struggling financially. And I mean, again, if you've ever dealt with it, money pressure, no matter if it's yours personally or something you're responsible for, is one of the craziest pressures in life. And I remember very clearly going through this process and dealing with it and trying to make the ends meet and juggling and budgeting and cutting and changing and thinking, where am I going to, you know what I mean? We tried to create money. Have you ever done that in your imagination? It's like, where am I going to get, and it's like we're trying to create where we can find money or make money. And one Sunday morning before service, we were back with a group of people praying, and I heard the Lord speak to my heart. And what he came so clearly in my heart is, what a blessing to depend on me for financial blessings. I thought, you know what? Wait a minute. We don't have to depend on the world system, the economy, or recession, depression, a job. Praise God for a job you should work. Praise God for economy you can make money in. But our total dependence is not on what the government can do, what our boss can do, what the environment can do, what the economy can do. Well, sales aren't good. No one's buying now. They might not be buying for everybody else, but if you're depending on God, He can direct you to the right people who are looking to buy. We shut ourselves down too much. We close the box down too much. Do you know when people are crying and trying to hang on to their money because, everything's doing bad. I got to hang on. Do you know it's during recession, history usually points out, it's during recession that the majority of people are getting rich as far as percentage of how many people are climbing the ladder. Because some people are not closing up and saying, I just got to survive. Some people are saying, this is a whole new game. How can I get ahead? What can I do? What can I provide? Because when people start cutting back, they're rethinking what they do, and now they're looking for new products. And someone says, how can I do what I used to buy but make it even cheaper so I can sell it to everybody who's looking? Why? Because the perspective changed. That's the only difference. Instead of shutting down and closing up and saying, I can't do it, I gotta wait till it's safe. Do you know Proverbs says that when people use the weather and judge the weather before they're gonna plant their seed, they will never harvest. If you look for perfect situations before you obey God and step out and do stuff, you'll never do it, because sometimes the best time to step out on the water is when there is a storm. When Jesus was walking on the water and Peter said, Lord, call me out, Jesus didn't say, wait a minute, let me get everything calm first for you, because I want you to see everything to be like glass and water. No, Jesus didn't need to do that. He said, Peter, come, right in the middle of the storm. Peter, come, right when there's a wave. Peter, come, right when it doesn't seem like an opportune time. I'll do through you and for you what's impossible for those around you, even when it doesn't seem likely, if you look to me. And we know Peter, the story that even Peter began to sink when he got his eyes off Jesus. Wow. Give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. And his mercy endures forever. Say, give thanks.
Give thanks.
To the Lord. Just take a second and just look up to heaven. Just give him thanks for something. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing it is to depend on him. What a blessing it is to have him protect us. What a blessing. It doesn't mean we're foolish. No. It doesn't mean you take unnecessary risk. No. Even the devil told Jesus, jump from this mountain, because didn't the scripture say that he'll give his angels charge over you? And Jesus responded, no, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God. It's not being foolish, but it's also having the confidence that even when you don't see how to make this thing work, even when you don't see the steps and the plans, even when you don't know what to do next, he sees and knows everything. If we can keep our focus on him. Look up. Even in Matthew's Gospel 24, when Jesus was talking about the last days and how horrible, and he goes, when this stuff starts happening, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be a mess. But then he said, look up, for your redemption is drawing to you. It's coming near you. It's drawing nigh. What does he say? When you don't know what to do and the storms and the waves are getting, look up. Focus on him. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy. Lord, everybody's calling me, they're pulling on me, they're working on me, they're wanting answers, and I can't give them an answer yet. I can't do what they're... Lord, I'm going to stop in the chaos, and I'm going to start looking up, and I'm going to begin to thank you that with you, this day is still going on. The day's not over. I'm still in this game. I can still win this. Don't look for a bed of roses so you can walk on smoothly. Look for the path of God. Look for the light of God's word. As he reveals you, he'll walk you through something, and you might not even, it might not be safe in the moment. But that's why David said, Lord, you are my shepherd. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Give thanks unto the Lord. But Pastor, all the stuff that's going on in our community, yeah, that could be fear on this side. But begin to give thanks that God is bigger than the problem and that God will show you what to do. What a blessing to have your Heavenly Father protect you. What a blessing that He's given you angels to surround you. What a blessing that He can give you peace in your heart in the midst of a storm. What a blessing He can move upon someone to give you a better job or a raise. What a blessing He can do what no man can do. What a blessing. Give thanks unto the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you today. We thank you today. We thank you today. We thank you, we give you thanks, for you are good. You are good. You are good. But the doctor said, well, praise God that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed, and the healing is a part of the covenant, and your God is greater than any sickness. Come on, somebody. Praise God that with you as a child of God, you are not a victim. You are not the passive bystander getting beat up by life. You are more than a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail, not because you feel it, but because of who you belong to. Give thanks unto the Lord. And my heart's been torn out. My life has been in shattered. Well, you're not dead yet. I'm not diminishing what you've gone through. But if you're still breathing, you have hope. Thank you, Father God. That almost killed me, but it didn't kill me. That could have wrecked me. I know people have caused them to go crazy, but I'm still sane. I give you thanks, Father. You didn't do it, but you're going to bring me through it. God didn't create that storm or that problem or that headache or that pain or that suffering. That's not the nature of your Father. That's the nature of the enemy, John 10:10, who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But praise God, you are more than a conqueror, and you can shake yourself up, step up a little higher, and use what the enemy meant for evil as an opportunity for advancement, because greater, greater, greater is He. Thank you, Father God. 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 For you are good. Even when you mess up, you can repent. He can clean up your foolishness. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Even when I deserve to be judged, thank you, Father God, for your mercy. Even when I did the wrong thing, thank you, Father God, you can get me on the right path. Even when I didn't understand it and said the wrong thing in the wrong way, thank you, Father God, you can clean it up and correct. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Give thanks unto the Lord. But I don't feel it. Notice it didn't say give thanks when you feel it. Because you might, listen, you might be feeling it right now in church. But let's get real. When you leave this place today, you're still the church. You might be in a building called church, but you're still. And it's not, it cannot be based on how you feel. Because there'll be times you feel so saved and so spiritual, and you're on cloud nine. You feel so anointed, you're looking for a demon. You're like, man, I gotta stretch out, just beating the devil up. That'll be my warm up today. You're a cloud. You know, have you ever noticed the devil never shows up when you're feeling strong, right? It's those times that you're feeling weak, and all of a sudden he's like showing up with a friend or two. What are you doing? But you know, there'll be times you don't even feel saved. Are you listening to me? Some of you baby Christians, listen to me. You just got saved. If you're just operating on the emotional high of salvation, you won't last. Because there'll be times you won't even feel saved. You say, but why? Well, because those are feelings. Those feelings go up and down, come and go. But your covenant with God is not based on a feeling. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Your covenant with God is based on what Jesus did on Calvary as a matter of spiritual fact and condition of covenant, which means even if I don't feel saved, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything from the perspective of God. He said, you're still my child. I still love you. You're still going to make it. If you follow me, I will bring you over. I will take you to the top. I will give you victory, not because you feel like it. You know, I like sports, and I like watching boxing matches. And that's a great boxing is a great analogy, because champions aren't made in the ring; they're discovered in the ring. Champions are made in the daily routine, when they do it, when they like it, and when they do it, they don't like it. Can you imagine if you only went to work when you felt like you wanted to go to work? Some of you are like, why? What's wrong with that? You just haven't got a job yet. Stay in high school. Stay in school. But I don't like going to school. Who cares? You know what I mean? You got to get to the place of you do what you're supposed to do because it's the right thing, not because you want to or you feel good. I just didn't feel like paying rent. Well, welcome to the street. You know what I mean? What do you got to do? There's not a matter of feeling. You have to put your feelings aside. Did you hear me? I've been married for so many years that I just don't feel like I love them. Put the feelings aside. You know what I mean? Part of growing up and being mature is when you have to look at your feelings and say, yeah, I feel that, but that doesn't decide. My feelings don't decide. My feelings don't direct me. You're not to be directed by your feelings. That's what they call carnality in the Bible. You hear a word, the flesh or carnality? That's when you allow this thing called your emotions and feelings to be the guide. People that are of the flesh, which means baby Christians that are just, you know, I mean, doing crazy stuff sometimes, it's because they're directed by what they feel. You got part of maturity. We understand that in the workforce. We understand that when we tell our kids, get up, you're going to school. But I don't want to get up and go to school. It's not based on feelings. We got to remember that in our life. But I feel so rejected. Put the feelings aside. Who cares what you feel? You got to tell yourself, I'm not rejected. I'm accepted in the beloved. The Bible says that I'm a part of the family of God. And if everybody turns against me, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that's Jesus. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, somebody. He died for you. How much do you want to feel accepted? How much does it cost for you to see how valuable you are? But so-and-so told me I was worthless. That so-and-so is clueless. How much does it cost? How much value must be spent to identify your value? Jesus gave it all. See, we got to learn to take our feelings and put them to the side and say, wait a minute, I'm going to give things. It didn't say respond in things. It said, give thanks. Give thanks. It's got to flow from you, just not because you feel it. I'm giving you thanks. I'm just not singing with thanksgiving. I'm giving you thanks, for you are good. But I'm not seeing it. He hasn't healed me yet. He must not be that good because I should have been healed yet. Wait a minute. You're judging him based on your situation, and you only see in part. You only see a small piece of the puzzle. He is good. If he never did anything for you, he's still good. In fact, Jesus, when they approached Jesus one day and they said, good master, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He stopped them and said, wait a minute. Don't call me good. There's only one that's good. And that's your Heavenly Father. See, until you can get to the perspective of who he is, in the amazing goodness of who he is. And you will never come to the completion of that thought. But when you begin to say, all right, Lord, I'm giving you thanks because it's about you. I'm giving you thanks because you are good. All that other stuff will take time, and all that stuff will come in line, and all that stuff will be worked out. But if you're waiting to define the goodness of your Heavenly Father based on what you see in a temporary situation, then you are really got the horse before the cart. You got it all backwards, and now you're trying to get that cart to pull the horse, and it's not working. You're trying to get the tail to wag the dog. It don't work that way. What it works is you start identifying, give thanks unto the Lord, and this is over and over and over and over again through Psalms and throughout Scripture. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Not going to be good. He is good. He is good. He said, well, Pastor, if he's so good, why hasn't he done that stuff for me? Maybe he has, and you haven't come to see it yet. And you haven't come to receive it yet. It's like if there was a stream of water going right by and you're thirsty and you say, well, if he's so good, why can't I get a drink? Water, right? You might be standing just a few feet away from your miracle, and the only thing that needs to be changed is your perspective. Give thanks. What am I doing? I'm saying don't ignore your situation, but don't make your situation the incomplete finality of who you are and where you're going. How do we begin to access this perspective change so that we can access what God has for us? Because he doesn't withhold any good thing from those who love him. How do we begin to access that? How do we, it might be a few inches, it might be a few miles. I don't know where you're at, but how do we begin to maneuver and bring ourselves to that place of experiencing his goodness? That we have to deal with next week. We're done. We're out of time. Amen. Don't get mad at me. Give thanks unto the Lord. For he is,
good.
He is what?
Good.
He is what?
Good.
Amen.